What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Well, hello everybody and welcome back to my show, What the Health. I'm Gabby Allen and we are here to discuss, believe it or not, all things health and fitness. Can I just make a side note? It's the 30th of April and finally the sun has come out. I was getting a bit worried for 1 minute that we weren't going to get any summer this year, but I think the time is nigh, guys. I've got my shoulders out, the sun is shining, it is a good day. So anyway, what do we have coming up on this show? Each week we are joined by a range of guests, some of the most talked about names in the fitness industry and leading health professionals, and we talk about the world of health and fitness. And one of my favourite parts of the show is helping you on your fitness journey. So at the end of each show, we do a little Q&A of listener questions. So if you do have anything that you'd like to ask me to answer on the show, make sure you drop us a DM on Instagram at WhatTheHealthShow and I can try and get back to you on next week's show. So today, what do we have coming up? We're going to be joined by the incredible Savannah Sashdev, content creator and full-time bloody runner, and my good friend Chris Barker, nutritionist and personal trainer. But first of all, in this segment, we have, it's all about myth busting this one. And today's subject is, sounds a bit like a bit of an innuendo, but we're going to be focusing on dry scooping, which seems to be a trend that never disappears, according to TikTok. Dry scooping is when you consume a scoop of pre-workout and chase it with water rather than diluting it. I've never done it, but we are here to talk about this with Angela Hartley, cardiac nurse and personal trainer. Are you there, my love? Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks so much. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too. How are you on this fine day? Where are you in the world?
I am in my gym at home. So yeah, but can see the sun. I've been out already for a run. So yeah, loving the sun helps a lot, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? It's just like, as soon as you wake up in the morning and it's like bright outside, you're like, today is going to be a good day.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is an exciting topic.
So it is. Let's talk about this then. Dry scooping is a recurring trend on TikTok where bodybuilders and fitness influencers consume a scoop of pre-workout and then chase it with water rather than just diluting it. Don't know how they do that. Can you talk to me about it? What are the main risks involved with dry scooping?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess there it depends obviously on what's in the dry scooping, but doing dry scooping in itself can be quite dangerous in that you're taking in a lot of powder, which can automatically make you cough accidentally inhale some of that powder into the lung, which can then lead onwards to either an asthma attack if you have asthma or infection in the lung, which can lead on to really serious things like pneumonia. So that in itself is dangerous, and particularly some of the people doing the trends can be young, so kids can catch on to these types of things. There's a cinnamon one that they do, so that can be very, very dangerous. First of all, to inhale any powder into the lungs, there's other things that can be in the powder. So a lot of pre-workout has a high intake of caffeine in it, so up to 3 or 4 cups, which generally perks you up for your workout, so it can be a good thing if done at a sensible level. However, if you're putting that into your mouth and it's absorbing very quickly in the mouth itself, and then you swallow it, that's ingesting a lot of caffeine all at once, and that's where most of the risk comes from.
Just like the unlimited amounts of caffeine that's going in at that one point, because caffeine isn't bad for you. We actually spoke about this last week, right? Caffeine isn't bad for you, you know, over the course of the day, if you have those 2 to 3 cups or whatever, but ingesting 4 cups, you said, in one serving, that must be a lot for the body to digest in one go.
Yeah, so caffeine, as you say, can be a good stimulant and it helps you to get through your workout, gives you a little hit of energy. However, 4 cups, and particularly for people who either have a pre-existing heart condition or have a little bit of high blood pressure, but they don't know about it, or if they're prone to getting palpitations, caffeine can really affect that. So caffeine spikes the blood pressure and the heart rate very quickly, normally to a little bit of a level, nothing dangerous. However, 4 cups and in certain types of people can really spike it to dangerous levels and trigger an arrhythmia, which can then either lead on to a heart attack itself. So it's looking at what's your underlying risk for that type of thing. how much caffeine are you having normally as well? Mm. So if you've already had your cup of coffee in the morning, then you think, right, I'm going to the gym, I'll have my pre-workout. You might be already up to sort of 5-6 shots yeah. of coffee before you hit the gym.
Oh my God, I don't think I could do that. My anxiety would be through the roof. So speaking of heart attacks, but not knowing if you're going to have one, there was a fitness influencer reported that she had a heart attack after partaking in this trend. Is this like a one-off or should people be concerned about this?
I don't think you need to be too concerned that, you know, if you have pre-workout, you're at a risk of having a heart attack. But just to know that caffeine is good in small quantities, but not great for the body in high quantities. So there's a lot of factors that go into why perhaps she personally had a heart attack. And I don't know, you know, her particular background or her underlying risk factors. But like I said, if you've already had coffee that day, you may have a family history of heart problems, you may be highly stressed. We're also then having quite a lot of caffeine when they're going to the gym and doing quite a high intensity workout, and then that can lead to what we call vasoconstriction and vasospasm in the arteries, which is another form of kind of cutting off the blood supply to the heart. The heart's not happy, and that can lead to a heart attack. So it is a rare thing. However, there isn't that many cases reported because I guess not that many people are doing this trend, and not that many young people have pre-existing risks. So that would be the kind of summary, is I wouldn't recommend it. I think it is a dangerous thing to do, and there's no reason you need to be doing it. By diluting it with water or another liquid, you're then sipping it, you're having a bit of a slower intake of caffeine.
Yeah. And I think that goes with saying, you know, for me, I don't take pre-workout just because I don't like the way it makes me feel. It makes me feel like all jittery and stuff. But I think it's almost, the people that I do know that take it, it's like it's almost like a placebo effect, that it's going to make them have a better workout because they feel more energized. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And you get a bit of tingling from some of the amino acids. You get a bit flushed and you feel a bit warmer and ready to go from the creatine. So it depends why you're having it, what it's doing. Is it, like you say, placebo? Would just a cup of coffee be just as good?
Yeah, definitely.
As you say, some people are just not cut out for caffeine, and yeah, you might not be great with it, like palpitations, anxiety, like then you don't sleep that night. So the next day you need more caffeine to perk you up because you feel sluggish. So it's a bit of a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it's like a domino
and
effect.
Tolerance builds.
Yeah,
exactly. And then you need more and more. You don't get the same high. So I think it's useful in certain situations. You could start with, say, a half dose, see if it suits you. I'm the same as you. It gives me a little bit of anxiety. Too much caffeine. I stay awake for hours.
I have to have my decaf husband, now.
Yeah, I'm decaf now, but my husband can have, you know, an espresso with his dinner and be asleep in half an hour. So everyone's different.
Yeah.
I would be awake till the morning.
Yeah, same. I just wouldn't sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
So can I ask you then, what would you recommend? So say if pre-workout wasn't a thing, how would you recommend for people to be more energized before their sessions? What can they do that's natural?
So obviously the best thing would be a great night's sleep. So it's looking at your sleep hygiene. Are you going to bed early enough? So there's that joke, you know, it's like, gosh, I wish I could have 8 hours of sleep. It's like, well, have you tried to go to bed 8 hours before you need to get up? And I'm guilty of that. You know, I'm going to bed at 11:30, midnight, and then I'm getting up at 6:30, expecting to feel great. So getting enough sleep is obviously key. Then hydration. So when you wake up, hydrating with just plain water. And then if you are, you know, a caffeine drinker and you know it doesn't make you jittery, makes you feel okay throughout the day, then a cup or two of coffee is absolutely fine. Then getting all your nutrients through diet would be ideal. So, you know, eggs on toast, bit of vegetables, that type of thing would be better than relying on supplements.
Yeah. And I think what I try and say to my clients, especially if they're in some sort of deficit, it's like plan your meals around your training. So, you know, if you know that you are, in a deficit, make sure that you eat like an hour or an hour and a half before you train, so you know that you've got that energy in the system at that point. Don't be eating and then 4 hours later expect to go and hit some PBs, because it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's tricky to time perfectly. Like I went for a run at 6 this morning. I didn't really feel like having a full breakfast. So I maybe took it a little bit slower than I would if I'd had, the perfect breakfast, the perfect night's sleep. And then, so you've got to adapt on what you can achieve realistically and what you've eaten and drunk the night before. If you've had lots of alcohol, you don't want to be getting up early and hitting the gym.
Yeah, I noticed that after I've drank alcohol, I definitely have heart palpitations the day after that, and I can't run. I'm like, I need to keep my heart level as low as possible.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the known triggers, and it's a vicious cycle because we need alcohol sometimes to calm us down at the end of the day, but that's often because we're a bit highly strung because of all the caffeine we drink during the day. And then so far, the next day you need the caffeine again. So it's a bit of a vicious cycle. So start with cutting down in each area gradually. For most people, will really help their training, help their sleep, help their energy.
Can I ask you, as a cardiac expert and a PT, how do you take a different approach to how you train your clients, or how do you approach a client if someone was to come in to you? Do they come in for specific heart reasons?
Yeah, I mean, 99% of my clients that I see have an existing heart problem. A lot of them, by nature of what I do, are younger and fitter, and they have had a heart problem come out of the blue. It might be that they're a bit older, in their sort of 60s, but they're still running and they really want to get back to that. So, yeah, I do see most people who already have the heart problem. But the main key thing I do that is probably a little bit different is I avoid that super high intensity exercise. A lot of what we do is key to doing a warm up. So a lot of us skimp on the warm up, but that is really, really important, especially for the heart. Not going from your desk or your bed to like running out the door. That really gives the heart like a bit of a, you're huffing and puffing for the first 10 minutes. That's because you're not warmed up. The other things is just not doing too many max effort, either lifting or the high intensity cardio. So we do more moderate intensity and more low intensity. And that really helps particularly high stressed people as well, because they've already got the mental stress. We don't want to add the physical stress. And eventually they can do some high intensity stuff, but just not straight away and not at the expense of that lower intensity base fitness.
Interesting. I love that. That everything's kind of in tune with each other, isn't it? Like, I haven't even thought about that. I've been quite stressed recently, see, and I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't be going to the gym trying to kill myself in there. Maybe I should be taking it a bit easier, but it's hard to do that unless until you speak to someone like you and I'm like, oh, the expert tells me to slow down.
And I'm the same. Like, I love my HIIT classes, my CrossFit, that style of workout where you're like, I really feel like I've pushed it today. But then I do try and get my steps in, my go and listen to a podcast, call a friend, like get the low intensity stuff as well to balance it. So it's not all go, go, go all the time, especially if we are living with stress and anxiety and high pressure jobs and that type of thing. It's like just calm the system as well.
Do you do you have do you train your husband, did you say? I can't see your face anymore.
No, I was going to say, all I said about my husband was the caffeine. He's so annoying. He can have a shot of coffee and then go to bed.
I love that. I wish I could do that. Well, it's been so amazing talking to you today, Angela. Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute
Yeah, you're
pleasure.
very welcome. Very welcome. Thanks so much for having me. And yeah, like I said, try not to dry scoop. There's no need to do it. I think a lot of people did it because it was quicker, but yeah, there's no need to do it and it's not great for you.
100%. I won't be doing that anytime soon. Thank you so much, my lovely. Have a great day.
All
Take care.
right, take care. Bye.
So, how lovely was she? I just don't understand how people do that. First of all, the amount of powder that has to go in your mouth, first of all, is just disgusting. But like, whenever I've taken pre-workout, I go to the gym and it makes me feel so nervous. This is obviously just a personal opinion. But yeah, no dry scooping, guys. If you're going to take pre-workout, make sure you build up your kind of resilience to it, because the worst thing is going to the gym and then not being able to do anything because you just feel so anxious anyway, you know? So, speaking of the gym, I want to talk to you about my exercise of the week, which is, hang on, I had an intro for it. So, I've been asked a lot this week about grip strength because as my clients are progressively, lifting heavier, challenging themselves a bit more, one of the things that can kind of stop them from being able to do that is their grip strength. So I don't know whether you know, but like I use like wrist straps sometimes, or you know, the hooks that go under, but it does really help if you can actually improve your grip strength of your hands, of your, you know, being able to hold things in your hands, fingertips wise, and in, you know, like a, I like to call it a hand bicep curl, you know, when your fingers curl up like an arm would, but with your hands. Basically, to improve your grip strength, my favorite move, which I've been programming recently, is the farmer's carry. So the farmer's carry is essentially holding two dumbbells or kettlebells or plates by your side and going for a walk. And it's an amazing exercise to target the entire body. And anybody can do it, because you can literally pick up 1 kg weights, 5 kg weights, 10 kg weights, whatever is your level and ability, pick them up and you can do a farmer's carry. And it's amazing because it literally works. Everything. It works your biceps, your triceps, your forearms, your shoulders, upper back, trapezius, quadriceps, hamstrings, calves, low back, obliques. By the way, I've got this written down. I'm not just rolling this off the top of my head. The transverse abdominis and rectus abdominis. And you can also feel it in your chest as well if you are using just one heavy weight. But it's amazing because you literally pick them up, you walk in a straight line, and you're working on balance, you see, by walking in a straight line. And to do this, you can find a line or an edge of something and follow it along and just focus directly ahead of you. Don't look down at your feet. Don't think, don't lean back, and just hold your core tight. But it's just amazing for strengthening your grip strength, strengthening, as I just said, all of those things. And it's a great one for anyone to include into their workout at the end of it or at the beginning if you want to kind of, you know, tighten everything up before you start your session. If you really want to challenge yourself as well, you can hold one heavier weight on one side and a lighter weight on the other, and then at the halfway point you can switch sides. So hopefully you will incorporate that into next week's or tomorrow's workout, and then you can let me know how you get on. I'll speak to you after this break. Goodbye.
Follow us at What the Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What the Health.
FUBAR Radio presents What the
Health with Gabby Allen. Joining me now is Millie Gooch, author and founder of Sober Girl Sobriety Society. I need to know what is so bad about dating sober.
I think it's just terrifying when it's something that you're not used to, because when I was drinking and dating, you know, like, you use it to calm your nerves, you use it for confidence, you rely on it. And I think that's the one thing I realised when I stopped drinking, is how much I really relied on alcohol. I was always kind of saying, you know, like, oh, I'm not dependent on it, but for my confidence I was really. But I also think there's so many benefits to it. Like, I used to go on so many dates when I was drinking, I'd be like, they are the one, and then I'd meet them like a few weeks later sober and I'd be like, we've got nothing in common, what was going through my mind? I'd be like, oh, it was because I was drunk.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
Harpreet, how are you, my love?
I'm great, thank you. How are you? It looks fun in there.
I want to talk about this because obviously you met your partner on The Apprentice. When did you start to get that feeling, I'm into him and this is more than just a banter or a friendship? Because it's a close environment being on a show like that, isn't it?
I really wish I could sit here and give loads of juicy gossip that actually we used to secretly meet in the laundry room on the show, but we didn't. And when I actually last spoke with yourselves, I think it was right after I'd won, we weren't even flirting, never mind dating. First time that I thought I actually fancied him was when I watched him on TV and I watched episode one. Hang on. You know, he's actually really good looking.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
And joining me in the studio, we have Deputy Leader of the Green Party, Zach Polanski. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping, Zach?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
So you're hoping for 4 MPs in the general. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's absolutely the minimum at what we're.
I don't want to be Piers Morgan here, but will you take out, I don't have £1,000, will you take a £100 bet with me that you'll get 4 MPs?
Well, I do everything in politics to talk about the harms of gambling, so for me to place us out there would be pretty, you know, pretty horrendous.
Before we had you on, we discussed with the producers as to whether I should do the bet joke. And I said I would, because I had every faith that you would answer it in the way I expect a politician of any moral standing.
We should also talk about cryptocurrency, which also is very problematic.
Rishi, if you're listening, mate, that's how you answer a betting question.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
And we are back in business. So this week I'm joined by the incredible Savannah Sashdev, content creator, and the woman herself that's been running one 1,000 days now, every day.
I was scared what you're going to say after "and." I was like, what else has she done?
That is insane. We just started having a chat, like, off air, and I was like, no, wait. Let's hold this, because this is amazing. What the hell, mate? 1,000 days of running. Have you lost your mind?
Kinda.
Yeah. Okay, so talk to me. What happened? Like, how did this start?
Do you know what? I wish I had some, like, really interesting answer. It really just isn't that deep. I feel like the same as everyone else. Got into lockdown, didn't really know what else to do to move. Like, I've always been, like, a fitness person, always loved movement, but just was just like, fuck it. Like, what else am I going to do? Needed to get outside. Mm. Went for, like, little daily walks every day and just kind of sped it up. But there was never any, like, I've had this kind of little rule in my head that it always has to be a minimum of a mile. Mm. But, like, that's my own rule, right? Mm. Like, it's not really a thing. But just, they were just really slow, comfortable jogs. And then it just continued and continued until it got to a few weeks and a few months. And then I was like, oh, I'm really doing something. And weirdly, people kept telling me, you're going to have to stop this soon. Like, this is bullshit. Like, this isn't good for you. Like, why are you doing this? And that kind of drove me to keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Because I'm like, I feel great. Like, why am I going to use your rules to limit myself, you know?
Yeah. But I think, like, you're also, as you just said, you don't push it every single day. She said this to me off air. You don't push it every single day. So it's not like you're doing a 5K every day. You're just doing, like, maybe a mile, maybe 2 miles or something. So that isn't, like, necessarily going to be that detrimental to your, you know, knees.
I barely see it as training. Like, I feel like most people would go do 10,000 steps a day, right? And I feel like me, as someone that's a content creator that sits in my room and edits and films videos all day, this is my reason to get out of my bedroom every day and just get a little bit of movement in. But other than that, it doesn't have to be strenuous at all. It just feels really good for me. I feel like my body feels really naturally set to do this. It feels really comfortable for me.
Amazing. So, like, did you, before that, was you just running on and off?
Do you know what, my experience with running is pretty much the run street career. Like, it's pretty much just the run street.
No way.
Yeah. Like, I just kind of started one day and it felt so good and comfortable. But do you know what's crazy, actually? I found it really recently. I went to go see my dad recently.
Did you run there?
In Canada, yeah. jogged over to Canada. And I went to go see my dad, and he was with his sister. And his sister, my auntie, brought out these newspapers. And in these newspapers were just this article of my dad running from Nairobi to Mombasa with some friends. Just like, what is that, like, I don't even know, like, over 500 kilometers. Like,
I mean, my geography is not
Yeah, it's huge.
Fun.
And I was like, oh, maybe, like, it's the Kenyan in me. Maybe that's where I got it from. Like,
yeah, that's amazing.
I know.
You know what? Actually, on theme, I watched Forrest Gump last night.
There it is. Yeah.
And then when, obviously, you coming on, I was like, oh my God, she's basically Forrest Gump.
I am. I'm the brown Forrest.
Yeah, you've got to change your name now, Savannah Gump. Okay, so before the running streak happened, then was you were doing influencer before? No, like, no, did no, it just no. happened from that, and now you're a full time fitness influencer.
Yeah, I didn't even really post about it until I was a few months into the run streak. Yeah, and it very naturally blew up. Yeah,
yeah, because I think, like, running is such a big thing these days. Anyway, I think from COVID, the fitness and, like, world has definitely gone bigger, which is amazing. But running, I think, has become, it's almost like a lifestyle now. People, have you seen that thing? It's like the new dating app. Like, you don't go on a dating app anymore. You just go to a run club.
Yeah. I kind of love it, though, because it's so accessible. Like, anyone can do it. You don't really need, ideally, you would have some good trainers and a bra, but, like, you don't actually need anything. You can just get outside and go for a jog in jeans if you really wanted to, you know?
So do you have a run club?
No.
You should do that. That should be something that you do.
I want to, but, like, I am so introverted. Like, I love being alone.
Right.
So I really, like, I feel like anyone that, I was really bullied as a kid, like, quite severely, quite physically Fuckers. Bullied as well. So, like, I just, to be in front of a group of people is just terrifying. Mm. And I've tried to host a few, and I do sometimes, and I tend to cap them at, like, 20 people.
Okay.
Just because, like, that is, like, that is my limit. Yeah. Whereby I just stand in front of people and just think they're all, like, chatting shit about me. But, like, from 20 onwards, I think, I don't know if I could handle that.
So has this your new, like, influencer life, has that give you a bit more confidence, though? You know, because people obviously look up to you now, and they, you know, must go onto your feed to get a bit of inspiration to just start doing something. So surely that should give you a bit of a boost of confidence.
Yeah, for sure. I like who I am in terms of, like, my fitness capability. I like I like my discipline. I like how I show up online as, like, actually me.
Yeah.
But there are definitely, like, stresses that come with being online, for sure. There's a lot of pressure. But I think for the first time in my life, I do like who I am.
Oh, good. I love that because you're amazing. And what would you say is your biggest accomplishment so far then?
Getting my mum to run a half marathon.
Oh my God, I love it. Mum, are you listening? You're next.
Yeah. No, she ran one. She did it. Yeah, she did it. She's done a few.
Oh my God.
She was like a heavy smoker, really uncomfortably overweight. Like she really struggled to do any movement. And she literally just swapped one addiction for another. And now she's like a CrossFit loving beast. Like,
oh my God, that's amazing. Actually, you need to get into CrossFit with her.
I do, yeah. I do CrossFit once a week. I love it.
So was that, do you think now, is it like hybrid training? You're doing CrossFit?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I'm one of those people, like, I just love anything. Like, if it's any kind of movement, I'll join in. Like, I love hiking. I'll play a little bit of tennis. Like, if you wanted me to dribble a football around, I'd be terrible at it, but I'll do it. I just think everything's a game. Like, I'm just like, why not?
Yeah. I love that. So do you think, talking about run clubs, do you think it's become more of a social activity than, like, you know, for getting fit these days?
Yeah, but I think that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
I think like to see the culture swap from people needing to go to a bar to going out and doing something wholesome in the morning together. I think people can be really judgmental of it at the moment and like it's such a fad, but I'm like, who cares? Like we're encouraging people to move together. That's so fun. I think it definitely, it can feel a little bit clicky sometimes.
Mm.
So I understand why some people would be nervous to go into those environments. But honestly, like if you're getting out and you're moving.
But I think like, you know, I've been out recently and some of my friends will go home early because they're like training in the morning and also including myself. Like sometimes I have to like give myself a curfew because I know that I prefer getting up in the morning and being productive and, you know, getting outside. She did just ask me though, guys. She was like, have you trained today? And I'm like, no. I was meant to. I was actually going to go for a run, sticking on theme with today. But I didn't have time because after I get back from a run, I'm always like so sweaty and hot that when I try and put my makeup on, it just like dribbles off my face. Yeah. So we'll be going for a run later, seeing as it's now sunny.
It's the perfect day, isn't it?
What the hell? So have you run today yet?
I have, but now I've seen the weather, I want to go again. Like, I just love it.
What's the longest run that you've done?
Do you know what? I've done one run of this length. And so in September, I got asked to do an ultra. And I was like, I got asked to do an ultra 3 weeks before the ultra. And I was like, right, if I can... let me see what the longest run on a training plan is and then I'll decide whether or not I'm going to do it. The longest plan on the training run was 60K. So like I just, one day I just like did a really comfortable, like not comfortable because it was fucking awful, but like I went, I tried to go as slow as possible, kept hydrating, kept feeding myself, but I managed the 60K. So like that's the longest.
Just off the bat?
Yeah, but I am, the consistency of this run streak has kept me in pretty good cardio shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like, if I do a minimum of 10 minutes every day, people don't realize if you do 10 minutes a day of anything, you comfortably get really pretty damn good at something.
It's like, true.
Yeah.
I think my brother's done he did an ultra in Africa somewhere.
Oh, sick.
And it was, like you said, it was like one of the best experiences of his life. As he's running through, there's like elephants and, you know, like...
That sounds real.
I don't know, like, you know, what else do you find animals in the jungle? Yeah, just those animals. And he was like, it was just unbelievable. But he did the London Marathon a few weeks ago.
Oh, that's incredible.
And he said that was harder. And I'm like, I bet it is because you're not looking at beautiful wildlife.
Things. Well, not to say that people of London aren't beautiful, but like, yeah.
Well, yeah, they're not the same as that. But yeah, no. And you know what? When I was watching, I think you either want to do it or you don't, right?
Yeah.
Like, I love going for my little 5Ks now. I've improved my speed loads and I love it. But I just don't know if I could put myself through a marathon.
But the thing is, you don't have to. And I think this is the pressure online at the moment. Yeah. People see it and they think people like me are telling them to go do marathons and ultras. We're literally not. Do whatever you want. If a 5K feels good for you, then a 5K is bloody brilliant. Mm. Like, do you know what I mean? There's no, like, loads of people at the moment are like, I hate running. I'm like, well, don't do it. There's so many other forms of movement, right?
Yeah, it's true. I think, like, one of my listener questions at the end is talking about, you know, being able to do, like, you know, not being able to do what you think that you should have to do.
Yeah.
And I think it is just that, isn't it? Like, do what makes you feel good. Like, obviously, you started running and you were like, this actually feels nice.
Yeah.
And then you just continue to do it.
Yeah.
But not everybody has to do that. People, like, go to the gym and do strength training. They're like, oh, this feels good. You know, I come from being a class bunny. And I've got one of my best friends, actually. She has joined my Shape Up program a few times. And every time she's like, Gab, I just can't do the classes. She's like, I'm just not a hit gal. fair. And it's not like Shape Up's not just all about hair, but there are classes involved in like the challenges and things like that. And she's just like, I just can't do it. She loves reformer Pilates, you know, things like that. And I think it is, as you said, like just finding what works for you.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm not really a hip person. I prefer like, get me to go to a boxing class. Would bloody love that. But maybe like a little hip class, I wouldn't enjoy to the same extent. You just got to find whatever you enjoy.
Yeah. So tell me how you got your mum to do it then. What was the process there?
Do you know what? She saw me getting out and she saw how much I enjoyed it. So she was like, I'd like to try it one day. But for us, it was a real cultural thing of like, my mum had always been taught that she couldn't show much skin and that fitness was for boys. So she had like a big fear against firstly wearing tight clothing and secondly like getting out and thinking that she looked weird, smelt weird. Like she didn't want to do it. So she was like, could you come with me for a few weeks and see if I get comfortable? So we would literally hold hands and jog for like, it started off at like 10, 15 minutes and then we just started to increase the time, but we would literally be holding hands while we'd go on these runs. I'd go with her on like a Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. before I'd go to my 9 to 5. And eventually one day she messaged me at work. She was like, I don't know why she calls me mummy. She was like, mummy, she's like, mummy, I just did a run by myself. And I was like, oh, like, and it'd been like maybe like 4 or 5 weeks of holding a hand through it. She messaged me and I was like, oh my goodness. But it took a lot of hand holding. And I don't think people realize how scary it is to do something that you're uncomfortable doing. Mm. Like she was terrified. And she, literally like loads of my friends are always like, oh, my mum, I can't get my mum into fitness. I'm like, take her to the gym, show her exactly what weights to put in the bar, talk her through the movements, really handhold, because it's, look at any, people don't beat themselves up when they're bad at any other skill. You know, like you wouldn't be like, oh my God, I hate myself, I'm so bad at piano. You would recognize that you would need lessons. It's the same with fitness. It's a skill. Like, obviously you need hand-holding. It's nerve-wracking.
It's building
it's a skill.
Yeah, it is. You know what? Once again, I talk to my mum every time I do this show because I wanted to listen and take on board what I'm saying.
Listen up,
Paula. Mummy. Mummy. But she started doing Pilates, which is amazing. And she loves it. She's like, you know what? I've been told that I've got really strong legs. And I'm like, amazing. Let's go to the gym. But I think it is. It's a tradition. Is that the word? No. What's the generation? Not tradition.
For sure.
Generational thing. Like back in the day, she used to do like aerobics and things where they used to just hold like weights and, you know, like dance around with them. I used to teach an 80s aerobics class. Absolutely. Hated it. But that's what they used to do back in the day. And so my mum, she sees what I'm doing and she thinks I'm like superhuman. And I think she just thinks that that is so beyond her ability. Like she would never be able to do it.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not asking her to go and lift, like deadlift 100 kg. But it's just about like trying. I actually did a workout with her in COVID and she was really good at it. But then I think she got DOMS and was like, I'm never doing that again.
Oh.
You know, the DOMS, it causes the fear, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. But I think mums think that for some reason that our generation is just built different and that they're not capable. But it's so weird because you're like, you're a mum. Like you have superhuman strength. You literally can do anything. But like my mum as well, she was of this generation whereby she was convinced spending that time on fitness was selfish.
Yeah.
Like she was like, I should be putting my time towards the family and improving the family. And I was like, putting yourself first is teaching us how to put ourselves first. Like you are inadvertently helping the family by working out. You know, like you're teaching us
how to
look after ourselves.
You're going to make yourself healthier, live longer.
Yeah,
all
and
that.
Teaching us how to do the same.
Yeah. I think though, with us though, it's instilled in us now that fitness is part of not just your physical health, but your mental health as well. Like it impacts my ability to live every day if I don't train. Do you know what I mean? It really does. How about you? Well, you said you started running in COVID just to get out.
It is such a crutch for me.
Yeah.
To the extent that like I definitely am aware that it might be too much of a crutch. Like I don't know who I would be without it. But like it's such a huge part of my personality. For sure. I've always been this way though. Like I'm such a like, I just love being outside so much.
That's amazing though. I mean, there's worse things to be part of your personality.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever anyone's like, well, what would you do if you couldn't run? I'm like, well, I would just find a different
crawl.
Obsession. Yeah.
Okay, so what are your top tips for any newbie runners?
Slow the fuck down. Like, literally, I think people hear the word run and think they have to run. Like, you can jog, you can slow down. Like, it's a comfortable shuffle. Just keep moving forward, you know? And actually, going slow enough and getting comfortable there is actually how you build your aerobic capacity and you'll eventually be able to get faster, you know? Someone said something to me the other day. Slow is steady and steady is fast. Like, you do have to build your capacity at a slower level to be able to eventually get fast.
Yeah.
I really like listening to podcasts as well, rather than music, because music,
makes you go faster. If you're listening to drum and bass, you're like,
I like shuffle, but I listen to like comedy podcasts.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, I follow no one that makes me feel shit about myself.
Yeah, that's a very fair point. I've muted a lot of people that I can't unfollow because, like, if I saw them and then I unfollowed them, it'd be a bit awkward.
Exactly.
But people are muted. Exactly. People.
Also, another thing, I think people, it's annoying because people feel silly investing in themselves at a sport that they're new at, but you need to buy good trainers. Like, you have to.
Yeah.
It makes the process so much easier and you also will avoid injury. Well, you'll avoid a lot of injury.
And also, if you put them to use every day, it becomes worth it, right?
Yeah.
I always think that, like, I don't really buy many expensive things, but if I do, I think about, I'm going to use it often. And, you know, like skincare, for example.
Exactly.
When you invest in stuff, it's like you're doing it for the greater good.
Yeah.
So you don't look like an old bat.
Yeah. But I think, like, I think acknowledging that, like, they are bloody expensive, though. Like, I get it, 100 quid is expensive, but, like, so worthwhile.
Speaking of the steady pace thing, my brother does marathons and his girlfriend does as well. And she said to me the other day, she's like, you should be able to have a conversation when you're doing an endurance run.
Yeah. Well, people don't realise it's like a long picnic. Like, every ultra I've been on, we've stopped every half an hour to, like, have a sandwich. Or, like, you're jogging, eating, munching on a banana. Like, it's slower than you would think.
Now, that is a skill. That is a skill.
I know.
Because I would probably choke to death.
But you would if you're going slow enough.
Okay, I'm going to tag you next time on my run eating a banana.
Done.
Is this how you do it?
Done. Come on and run with me. I'll show you how to let you
run. Yes, let's do that. Done. Okay, but not that far. 5K. We'll start at 5K.
Fine. If you'll put me through a glute workout, please.
Yes, deal. Okay, that's a great deal. On that note then, thank you so much for coming in today. You've been amazing. Awesome. I'm going to be messaging you to definitely book in that glute. We have to do glutes first and then run later or on two separate days.
I feel like one after the other and kill ourselves.
So what's your name on Instagram? Savannah?
Sashdev.
Oh, dead easy. Mm-hmm. There you go. Go and find her. I wonder last question. How many days do you reckon you're going to be running for?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. Don't know. Until it doesn't feel good.
That is amazing.
Yeah, until it feels horrible. But it feels great right now.
Okay. Keep going, babes.
Thanks, babe.
Go on, Gump. Run, Forrest, run. How amazing is she, guys? Unbelievable. Coming after this break, we're going to be joined by another amazing person, Chris Barker, nutritionist and personal trainer. I'll speak to you then. Bye.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
FUBAR Radio presents
All areas.
We have the absolute icon, legend, Janice Dickinson.
I'm here.
Do you still enjoy doing reality shows, or do you now see it as more of like a part of your job that you like have to do?
I do really enjoy it. I don't enjoy the actuality of eating fish eyeballs.
Well, yeah, there's that side to Amazon.
Yeah. Or vagina of cow.
Yeah.
But you do like the sort of social side, do you? Like just
the social side was fantastic. Just getting to know people and sleeping with people and eating with people when we didn't really have enough food.
Uncensored. This week we have Natalie Balmain, winner of Channel 4's Make Me a Prime Minister. We do have a serious problem with the standard of our public servants and the behaviour they display both in office and in ministerial office, no?
Absolutely, 100. We're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
We're a nation that once purported to be world leaders. But now with the people we have in charge, we can't even lead ourselves.
Well, we are leading the world in terms of idiots and clowns in office, I think.
Please do. Remember back in the day when it used to be like fashionable, or it was the thing to do when you'd go on Facebook, and you'd be like, "Hello, I'm like in a relationship." And what was the other one? It was "It's complicated." Do you remember that one?
Yeah, it's in a relationship with.
Yeah.
Or it's complicated. But then what it used to do, it used to pop up on the feed, so you'd be sitting there.
Yeah.
And then in your feed, it would be. I don't know, Jess, whoever is now single, so you like that one. Or poke them, did you poke them? And then you give them a little poke.
Yeah.
Give a little virtual poke. Just to go, I see you're single now, babe. Facebook were great, wasn't it?
FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back. We are now joined by my good friend, Chris Barker, for a moment of wellness. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Gabby.
So, I'm actually very privileged to have Chris in the studio today because he's like one of those people that he's just like really cool and doesn't really talk to you unless you're cool enough. You know what I mean? You'll see when you look at his profile. It's the Lifestyle Clinic _CB. Is that right?
That is right. Yeah.
And then you will be able to see that he's like cool. And he's actually just said that the chair in here is too upright. And it's because all of his content, he's like laid down, super cool, pantless, you know, just getting it in. Getting the viewers in.
I'm just not used to sat with such good posture.
So, Chris is a nutritional therapist focusing on gut health, female health, and fat loss. He's actually worked with me before on some of my shape up stuff when we was in COVID. I learned a lot by working with you. I'm sure that a lot of my members and clients learned a lot by working with you as well. So, can you just tell me what made you want to focus on these things?
Well, I think the pursuit of learning more about nutrition stemmed from my own diagnosis of Crohn's disease when I was like 19. So I always wanted to learn better how nutrition was affecting my body to just sort of manage my condition. After sort of personal training for a bit, I didn't get into personal training just to help the sort of rich housewives of Chelsea build better bums. So I was like, you know, I'm going to start to, you know, explore more sort of avenues in terms of you know, research and qualifications. And then as I started to do, I think my first one was on clinical weight loss. And then I got a qualification in pre and postnatal training, mm-hmm. just because, again, like it made sense. There were a lot of yummy mummies in the area. Mm. It was purely like a business move. And I found it so interesting. And so then when I was doing sort of my master's in clinical nutrition, they had a section in fertility nutrition, which again I was super interested in. It just sort of spiraled. I found the fact that so little is known or like commonplace when we train women or when we discuss nutrition, the sort of sex differences, and it was just mental to me that these weren't discussed and most trainers weren't aware of them. And
it's so true. But even looking at your profile, I learn things on the daily. Like the last one, which always plays on my mind, is carb loading doesn't work for females.
Yeah, so again, the body...
but like all the research is done on men, must be, and that's what we're all told, that this is what works for everybody, and it's not the truth.
Yeah, so essentially a lot of the research was predominantly done by men, so it was done on men, and they just sort of thought, well, women are just smaller versions of men, so we'll just extrapolate and place it upon women. So yeah, things like carb loading, obviously your body has a different hormonal setup, so it sort of, you can't really... like pack more glycogen into the muscle stores than you would if you just ate a sort of your normal diet, as it were. So the when they did the carb loading protocols on women, there was no additional benefit.
Yeah. The and then another one that I learned from you was I was going through my whole PCOS thing, remember? And then you were like, but do you have polycystic ovary syndrome or polycystic ovaries? And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, so
different things.
Yeah, so the diagnostic criteria for polycystic ovarian syndrome, I think there's four criteria and you need to meet three of them. So the visual of polycystic ovaries doesn't mean you necessarily have PCOS unless you fit the other criteria of sort of elevated androgen levels, oligoamenorrhea, these things. So I think a lot of people mislabel PCOS sometimes because they've just had a scan and
yeah, and it's like an umbrella term for yeah. So yeah, as you can tell, Chris knows a lot about a lot, and I've learned so much literally by being his mate. So he's actually written a book, which is just one of many, I'm sure. So tell us, the book is called Simply Confusing or Confusingly Simple, which is amazing. Tell us why you wrote it.
So I always wanted to, well, I started a newsletter, I think, pre-COVID, and that sort of garnered my interest in writing. And I figured that actually it was a better way. I could be more sort of clinical or at least like thoughtful with my words when written and given time to sort of take time and study the research and then put it down on paper rather than just effing and blinding in my videos. So it sort of...
I love it.
It gave me a format to... put more sort of effort in rather than, you know, what has become the norm of 10-second reels and clickbait stuff. I wanted people to be able to just have a sort of somewhere to turn to if they wanted to learn more and, you know, again, sort of help the idea is always to provide education. That's what I want to do. It's what I want to like push. So the book is to, you know, give people an opportunity to read a book that sort of can give them a very good understanding of their weight loss problem. So it's not a sort of this is the one diet that works, or this is it's going into depth of like where people go wrong, how you can better set up your own nutritional sort of needs to lose weight, and the lifestyle practice that comes along with it. So it talks about sleep, it talks about stress. It's not just this calorie or this diet. It's sort of
how you can approach
how
it as
you
an individual.
Can approach it. And I try and keep it playful, so it's sort of written as my diction, so it's kind of like how I would talk. So there are some swear words in there. My mum read the first four chapters and was like, "Can you take the penis joke out?" And I was like, "Well,
nope.
You're not.
It's already written now.
You're not really my clientele, mum."
I love it. I was at Chris's book launch a couple of weeks ago, last Saturday, I think it was, and he read us a snippet from the book, and it literally just sounds like you explaining things.
Yeah, and I think like it helps to. I think it's more easily ingestible, because I think a lot of people, you know, it's hard to find time to read, especially in busy London or wherever you are.
But speaking of which, though, like everything, as you said about the TikTok reels and, or you know, everything's like so short these days. Everything in the fitness industry has become so commercialized, and I think still pushing the fact that we do have the education of books is amazing, because that's one way to try and tackle the fact that everybody's attention span is like down to.
Eight seconds
these days.
Less than a goldfish.
Is it actually?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's now complimentary to say someone has the attention span of a goldfish.
Oh, my God. So that's why they're banning TikTok, I think, in the US, or they're trying to, because...
Yeah, I think they're trying to, but I think that's also got to do with, like, the Chinese owners.
Oh, I thought it was to do with attention span, but maybe not.
Don't quote me on that, but...
I think it's amazing that, you know, there's people still like you out there writing books for people that do want to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I have been asked to turn it into an Audible by multiple people, so I am working on that. I'd like to think it's because of my voice, but I think it's...
Of course it is.
Because people struggle to read. But that, yeah, I understand, but I think also... to have the resource available to people who want to learn. Because there's also like, there's textbooks out there, but they're very dull, and it's like being back at school, and it's kind of like, how can we make sort of it, the education more sort of more interesting for people who have got a shorter attention span or are sort of struggling to just learn more.
I think it's just more accessible because, you know, especially when we're all living busy lifestyles, like as Savannah just said, when she's on her runs, she listens to podcasts and things like that. So I think you definitely should do an audio book version of it, because more people will probably listen to it and read it then.
The Audible is in the works. Okay, it's good. Just, I thought I'd write it first.
Okay, you needed to write it to be able to read it.
Yes.
So, okay, as a nutritionist, what are the most frequent questions you get asked?
Wow. I think one of the most common ones I get asked, which I hate, is what supplements should I be taking?
Oh,
which
is
always
a
bit. It's always a bit backwards, because it's like supplements are to supplement your diet. So it should be like, you should be doing everything possible to get what you need from, you know, natural food sources, as it were, before you might need the supplemental route. So that's the most common one. And obviously, like, you know, things like creatine is, you know, a go-to sort of for, well, not for most people, but for, you know, I would blanket prescribe that more often than not. I don't look at whey protein as a supplement for the most part. I think it's more of a food source and just very sort of... convenient. So that's not a supplement I recommend. It's something I recommend for people's diets to help elevate their protein content. I mean, omega-3s, depending on, again, the population, magnesium more predominantly for women. But again, it's sort of like I'd rather focus on your diet before I tackle the supplements and what we could add.
But because you can get everything from a food first approach, right? I think it's just having, I mean, people, it does come down to money sometimes. Like if you don't have the option of getting a full diverse diet, then it might help to, you know, buy the pot of pills.
Yeah, and I think like also if you look at everyone's sort of dietary preferences, quite a lot of people exclude certain things, which then makes it harder. So if you look at vegans, vegetarians, or like even, most sort of dietary restrictions therefore create the chance of sort of, you know, nutritional deficiencies. So it's kind of like, unless you're someone who just eats, you know, a very good broad diet, you are probably at risk. So if we can't optimize it through food, then maybe we turn to supplements. But yes, you can get pretty much all your nutritional needs through foods.
And I think also, like, sometimes even I overthink it. I think, oh God, I'm not getting enough of this. But actually, if you just eat enough of, like, the good things, it's like you're going to pretty much get it eventually.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, obviously we sometimes talk about the sort of colors of the rainbow. So the more sort of diversity in your diet, usually, you know, it'll help improve, like, gut microbiome. It will help sort of, you know, meet your nutritional needs. Like, there's a lot of people who don't eat fish or whatever. So then maybe omega-3s are lacking in their diet. And obviously, with the addition of a more omega-6s in most people's diets, the ratio is displaced a little bit. So then we might push more omega-3. But again, it's not necessary. But I think if you look at Gen Pop, most people aren't eating a good range of foods.
Yeah, that's true. The question about your Crohn's then. Do you have to really focus on getting everything... like getting the diversity in your diet for your gut microbiome?
So Crohn's is a little bit of a tricky one. So inflammatory bowel disease is an autoimmune condition. There's no sort of one route that someone with Crohn's can take. So I get a lot of clients with IBD talking to me. And the trouble is, obviously, everyone's a little bit different. So I sometimes comes down to starting with an elimination diet to see what is triggering the sort of flare-ups, as it were, from a nutritional standpoint. And then reintroducing and making sure we are trying to cover all the nutritional basis. Now, I think a lot of people with Crohn's would probably need certain supplements to replace things that they are deficient in because of, you know, poor absorption and poor digestive health. You know, obviously we think of fruit and vegetables as, you know, very beneficial foods and we should all be eating more of them. The problem is they're harder to digest, and when you have a faulty digestive system, sometimes it can exacerbate
the opposite way. Yeah. Okay.
So quite often if I'm having a flare up, I have to go to a very low, what we'd term low residue diet. So basically very little fiber. So trying to give the digestive system less work, which means therefore my micronutrient needs are probably not being met. So then I have to sort of supplement with X, Y, and Z to replace what is missing. So it's
but it's so complicated.
It is a little tricky in that condition. But again, like, that's, you know, the benefit of sort of learning more about how to listen to your body, and the knowledge of, you know, where to get, you know, the right nutrition from.
You're just like, underneath that bald head of yours, you have a lot of knowledge in there. You know so much about everything. So last question I want to ask you. this is funny. I think it's the title thing of your book, The Weight Loss Equation, which dives into the confusion surrounding the topic of weight loss, dispel myths, and unravels much of the confusion, all whilst not trying to call people cunts.
Yes.
Is that the little blurb?
That's the blurb on the black back. Yes.
I love it. I want to know where we can buy the book.
So the book is available on Amazon as a sort of Kindle version or paperback now. I'm sorry, Mum.
did you write that when you were drunk, or just that's just
no?
You?
I mean, I think there are parts of the book where I sort of go off on little rants, and I think the problem, as we've discussed many times, of the sort of misinformation that has sort of now polluted sort of social media on nutrition and fitness, sort of it's hard not to sort of grind your gears, as it were. So quite often you're like left scratching your head going, how is this being said? Like, and quite often it's like doctors butchering it. So it's like coming from a highly qualified person, and you're like, how have you got this so wrong? So it's like, I think it triggers a sort of like underlying sort of tendency to swear a little bit.
I mean, I'm here for it. I feel like there needs to be more I was going to say fun around topics, but I feel like it makes people more engaged. So I definitely would recommend everybody to go and buy Chris's book. That is Simply Confusing or Confusingly Simple. Thank you so much for coming on today, Chris.
Thank you for having
me. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I think your language has been pretty good.
I'm shocked.
It's because I'm a very zen person, clearly. But thank you, my love, and I will speak to you after this. So, guys, we're now moving on to our listener questions. And we have one that we've actually just touched on very briefly, well, Chris has, and it's, is creatine worth the hype? So It is. I have my notes here as well. Creatine can work amazing if it's used correctly. It has to be supplemented. So it has to be supplemented 5 grams four times per day for 7 days. I think that's the first initial supplementation amount. And then it's a maintenance of 3 to 5 grams per day. So it is a bit of a commitment, but it does have, you know, it can be an effective supplement with benefits for both athletic performance and health. And it's like one of the most world popular and effective supplements for building muscle and strength. So I would say yes, definitely try it, see if it works for you. But, you know, there are like other things that happen with it. You know, you can end up holding onto a bit of water retention. So if you don't want to do that, but I think if you use it for a substantial amount of time to get the results that you want, as in like with muscle mass, strength, and then you can then cut it back. Because I don't think, as far as I'm aware, I don't think it's something that you should use forever. But maybe I'm wrong. I've used it. I think I have used it once before. Not once as in like one day. I've used it for about a time before. And I did see some benefits, but I definitely did hold on to some water retention. But that could just be me. So, you know, try it out, see how you get on. And then, yeah, let me know how you found it. And I'm now going to answer Jamie's question. So what are your thoughts on hybrid training? Is it worth trying it out? So hybrid training, it's all over Instagram and stuff these days, isn't it? And it's essentially a kind of mixture of strength and cardio, which is what I do on like on a normal weekly basis. I will be doing I'll probably do like 4 resistance sessions a week, and then I'm going for maybe 2 runs a week, or I'll do some cardio at the end of my session, or I might throw in a HIIT class that here and there. I think it's great for improving overall endurance and like you know, everything works hand in hand. If you increase your cardiovascular endurance, then it's going to improve your strength. And if you increase your strength, that's also going to improve your cardiovascular. You know, like they do work together. But also it depends on what the kind of goal is. Like if you're looking to build muscle mass, then you should probably focus on just your resistance program and a calorie surplus and just being consistent for, you know, 4 months, 6 months, and really going to reach that goal. And then maybe incorporating some cardio when you're trying to lean up a little bit, or vice versa. If you're trying to lean up, maybe hybrid training is for you, because obviously you want to hold on to your muscle mass, but by using the cardio, that's going to help you decrease your fat percentage. So I would say it's definitely got its pros to it. It just depends like kind of what you are trying to get out of your training. And lastly, but not leastly, we have Sally, who is a lawyer, and she has a very busy schedule, which means she can only go to the gym for 20 to 25 minutes 3 times a week. Is it worth my time going, or do you have any suggestions for alternative workouts? Okay, so first of all, I think it's amazing that you are trying to, you know, get to the gym, even though you obviously, I can imagine, you know, you must have such a hectic lifestyle. But going to the gym, like how long does it take you to get there? Because if it's like literally next door and you can still only do 20 to 25 minutes, I would say go, make sure you've got a solid program that you can follow, because you can do, you know, you can do make the most of the 20 to 25 minutes that you have. If you find a trainer that can help you be most efficient using just that time period, then, you know, you can hopefully get something out of it. But what I would say is, why don't you invest in getting some stuff at home? And then maybe it gives you a little bit more time, because you're not having that time to go to the gym. I know, obviously, by going to the gym, it gives you that bit more of motivation. And like, you know, you're going somewhere to get it done. But if you do want to find a little bit more time, then even if it's that 20 minutes that you spend traveling to add on to your workouts, get yourself some dumbbells. Once again, get yourself a trainer who can then give you that motivation and you know, consistency and accountability to get it done at home, because you can get great results at home. I have a lot of clients that work out at home, and you know, a lot of clients that also do 30 minute workouts because it's all they can fit in, because they've got a busy job or 12 kids, and it is, you know, we just have to make it work, and we do get good results. So I think maybe just pulling back on the travel time, or find, like, say if you have a day off, make sure that like that's the day that you get in a little bit of a longer workout, and then you just do 2 of those shorter workouts on the days that you can go to the gym. Or if you are on the running hype bandwagon like me, get outside and do a run for 20 minutes when you've got only got that time to do. But I think the fact that you are doing something is amazing. But just try and see if you can compromise in other areas. areas. Thank you so much for joining me today, guys. What another epic show once again on What the Health. Make sure, if you want me to answer any of your questions and go round the houses like I just did, make sure you send them into our Instagram at What the Health Show. And we have another amazing week for you next week, as always. But until then, I will speak to you soon. Lots of love. Goodbye.